This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Riddle me this, riddle me that. Who's afraid of the big black bat?
In an uncertain world, in a chaotic time, justice wears a mask.
Your entrance was good. His was better.
Love is a game.
What is it about the wrong kind of man?
It's the car, right? Chicks love the car.
Power is a machine.
Now you've devised a way to read men's minds.
By the way, I've seen your mind, freak.
And revenge is a trap.
You're a genius.
Riddler and Two-Face can make a pretty lethal combination.
Train me, let me be your partner.
Who's your tailor?
If the bat wants to play, we'll play!
Was that over the top?
Courage now. Truth always. Batman. Forever.
I like that we have to stare each other eyes to be like, okay.
And here we go.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
Oh, I'm exhausted. I'm Nicole Byer.
This season, we're covering the Batman movies, and this is the fifth episode of the sixth season. Okay, so we're working our way through movies within the Batman universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, and sometimes even people who've contributed.
So this season's going to be 13 episodes or 14 episodes?
Yeah, I thought it was 14.
14.
Mm-hmm. 14 episodes, culminating in a very exciting live stream.
Wow.
Yeah. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know anything could go down. You got to watch it live, babe.
We're going to cover as much as we can to get an overview of the franchise. But guess what? We're not going to be able to get to everything.
Today, we'll be discussing the 1995 film Batman Forever starring Val Kilmer. Now, I just want to throw out there, his mouth, like, very Michael Keaton.
Yes.
Almost. Just coming from watching that movie to this movie, I was like, not too far off.
Not too far off. But at times, or the first time he was like Val Kilmer, I was like, where's Michael?
Yeah. Missed Michael a little bit.
A little. Missed
that
little Jerry.
We got a lot of thoughts. Yep. Well, Val had good hair. It was floppy.
Yeah, a full head of hair.
It was like that sort of like floppy 90s guy. Yeah. Like, yeah.
A little surfer.
Yeah, surfer vibes.
Like, got to the beach, not a fight crime.
Batman Forever is available with a subscription on Max and Prime Video, and you can also pay to watch it if you're obsessed. Go to Apple TV Plus, Google Play, or Vudu.
You gotta give Warner Brothers money. I'm obsessed.
I need to pay $3 to watch this now. And obviously, we're going to spoil it. So that's happening.
So that's that. We are so excited for our guest today. He's an actor, writer, comedian. You've seen him on his show Review, on Eastbound and Down, Silicon Valley, so many. Ooh, credits. Yeah. V, Parks and Rec. Pretty much every show you've ever thought was funny, you've seen this person. And you'll be able to see him soon in the Apple Limited series Lessons in Chemistry, which may or may not be out when this episode drops.
I don't know.
And most importantly to us, he is the voice of Two-Face in the Harley Quinn animated series.
That's juicy.
Ooh, juicy.
Oh, he's part of the franchise.
Wow.
Welcome back, Andy.
Thank you. Hello.
I'm delighted to be here.
I can't believe you're Two-Faced, a character I just got to know so well.
We just got
night.
To know Two-Faced.
I know. I can't believe it either.
Wow.
Can you believe? You're stepping in the shoes of Tommy Lee Jones.
I know. And this is my first time seeing this movie.
Wow.
Seeing Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Faced. Now I'm realizing, oh, I did it all wrong.
No, but you got to make it your own. That's kind of what we're seeing.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
What is your relationship to the character of Batman or DC Comics? Mm-hmm. Are you a fan? Mm. Where are you?
I have an opinion about Batman that makes people very angry.
Oh, this is honestly, this is where you could share that.
Yeah.
I think it's safe.
I'm safe?
It's a safe space. I mean, we're not going to read the comments, so yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, me neither. Yeah. I believe that the 1966 Batman television series with Adam West is the only time that anyone has gotten the tone right for Batman on screen.
Wow.
I think it's... just the fact that he's got little ears on his hat makes it something, it makes it so stupid that you just have to goof on it.
Yeah.
And the Joker should have makeup over his mustache the way Cesar Romero did.
We really talked about that.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah. Stuff like that is like right down, it's perfect. It's the tone, it's the correct tone. Trying to make like a serious psychological a dark and meaningful story out of a guy with infinite money who dresses up like a bat to beat up bad guys at night. It's a waste of time.
I love that.
That's my opinion, and boy, it does make people mad.
Yeah, but I think you're still you're holding up the original, which I feel like is a good opinion. Like it's like you're saying,
okay.
Like,
no, but in the world, like people don't really.
Yeah, they don't.
Like
they don't like that.
No.
Yeah.
No. I think you're saying Batman's good. You just prefer it being silly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this one was silly.
It was silly. That's true.
This one was. This one was silly. Okay, everyone was in a different movie.
I know. This was the most bananas.
Jim Carrey was in a very different movie than Val Kilmer and Nicole Kidman.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Lee Jones was like, I don't actually want to be here. Mm-hmm. It was truly wild.
I know.
And Chris O'Donnell. Wow.
Another movie also, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he was like kind of like a Dawson's Creek vibe coming in.
Mm.
And he's like the brooding teen who's got a hard time.
I want to ride this motorcycle.
Yeah.
My family died right in front of me as I was rolling a bomb into a river.
I know.
That was wild.
Weren't you kind of excited, though, because Paul F. Tompkins had told us that Robin was an acrobat and that's how his origin story started?
Yes.
And then when we saw the acrobats, I was like, oh, here's where we get this from.
I love that he's from a family of Robins. That they all dress like that.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Robin
that was
is not a good name for us, like the sidekick. I feel like it's.
No.
But even when he like chose it, I feel like he was kind of like Robin.
And Robin.
And
that's
like,
it.
It's on my
the
R's helmet.
Robin. It's who I am now.
I already
Robin.
Have Robin on my hat.
Because
I saved
Robin.
Him like a Robin.
Yeah, Robin.
I flew in like a Robin. I'm like, so many birds you would put before that. Like an eagle.
An eagle, a crow, a sparrow, even.
Yeah. Eagle Man. Do you remember those commercials, Allie?
No.
Oh, it was like a local Midwest.
Are you from the same place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I was like, wow,
do you know?
Singled out.
We were from the Midwest, and there's this commercial called Eagle Man that was an insurance company, and my brother and I recreated it and did Raptor Boy because we had a raptor head. But it was basically like these two women like get in a car crash and like their car goes like, and they're like, oh no, do you have insurance on this car? No. And then they're like, there's like this big like boop, and they hear this sound, and this
and
eagle,
it falls on the
huge
car.
Eagle man lands on the car. It's
yeah,
like
I've seen it.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I've got something for you.
Yes.
And then he poops out an egg.
Yes.
And then the egg cracks open, and it's a little eagle, and it has little insurance rates in its mouth. And then they go, look at those low rates.
I feel like I've seen this recently.
Maybe you have.
In Chicago.
Yeah. I'm sure it's
still going.
Now it's funny, I feel
it's
like.
It's very funny.
Yeah, because it was current at the time.
Oh,
it was
okay.
Like they just made it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Eagle Man could have been a good sidekick. Well, okay. We're going to jump into all this. We kind of see where we're all...
Yes.
Where we all stand with this movie. But let's take a quick break and we'll jump back into Batman Forever right after this.
Ooh,
Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
We're back! Okay, Batman Forever was released June 16th, 1995, written by so many people. Lee Batchelor, Janet Scott Batchelor, ooh, a couple
or siblings.
Or siblings.
Or just
or
a coincidence.
Cousins,
yeah, yeah.
Or coincidence.
They're both named Batchelor.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah. Akiva Goldsman, directed by Joel Schumacher, and it was produced by the spooky man from
Tim Burton.
Yes.
That threw me off because then Same. It was like, oh, it is a Tim Burton thing. Then I was like, no, it's not.
No.
He seemed to have nothing to do. I'm like,
yeah,
really curious.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I will say, watching this movie, I was like, oh, this is what this is. And it made me appreciate the Tim Burton ones more.
Yes.
I was like, oh, those weren't as awful as I thought they were.
Because you know what? They're really serious. Like they stick to a tone and
yes.
they really mean it. And like, I really like that about this. I feel like this movie is like so, it kind of makes fun of itself.
Yes.
But in a way where you're like, so you don't care? Like it's yeah. sort of
yeah.
like.
I know, that's what's tricky about.
It's like teasing
being
itself.
Being silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. It's very tricky.
Yeah. Although Batman's costume in the beginning has nipples. Did you notice
no,
that?
No, I didn't notice
Oh,
that.
Yes. Apparently that was the real innovation of this movie. The nipples were added to the Batman costume.
And then when wow. he gets his new one that he hadn't tested yet, there was no nipples. But then we got a shot of that butt. And I was like, yes. what is this movie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Val Kilmer, really hot guy.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do like that floppy hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Really attractive man. Very symmetrical face.
Yes.
Like, I really was like, you could fold it right
Very
in.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Have you seen his documentary about mm-hmm. his current life? It's really
no.
interesting.
What's going on?
A lot. I don't want to get into it. But you should watch
He's
it.
It's an oddball.
But I also learned what an artist he has always been. Like, I only knew him from things like this. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's a really interesting guy. So that is a cool documentary.
He's another one where I'm like, I know Val Kilmer. I don't know what movies he's been in.
I can't name one besides this, but...
Tombstone.
Never seen it.
Well, yeah. that you've got to do
yeah.
now.
Give us another one.
What?
Yeah, give us another Val Kilmer.
Another Val Kilmer. Well, The Doors.
Never seen it.
You've never seen The Doors. No. Fascinating.
Oh. What's it about?
Wait, what about Heat?
The band.
Oh, yeah, the band The Doors.
I was like, he just walking through doors? What's happening? Is it like sliding doors? Like that movie?
The Heat?
Heat.
Or
just Heat?
Oh, The Heat is a different movie.
Never
Heat,
seen
never
it.
Seen that.
Wow, you
we
guys are so good.
We could do a Val Kilmer newcomer
We could do a whole...
Top Gun?
Yeah.
Never
Top
seen
Gun,
it.
Never seen right. it. I tried to watch wow. the new one and I was like, this is insufferable. And I
yeah, Mary, too.
Oh my God. So many people told me it's their favorite. Like, Mary's like, that's my favorite new movie.
Really?
New Top Gun? She said, you have to watch both. You got to see it on the big screen. I said, okay. And then I made no effort to
I was baffled by that. I tried to watch Top Gun Maverick too. I was like, I heard this was great.
Everyone was saying
it. It was a lot of Tom Cruise riding a motorcycle. And I was like, I don't need that.
Okay. I'm curious. I don't know anything about it, but we'll see. Well, we're going to get into the plot of this movie, and we want to thank the Batman Fandom Wiki for the assist with this script, because they always know what's up.
They're never confused.
They're never confused. They're always spot on. The movie opens as Batman, Val Kilmer, saves a guard from Two-Face, the alter ego of the disfigured former district attorney Harvey Dent, Tommy Lee Jones. They're locked in a safe tied to a helicopter, though Batman unlocks the safe. Dent kills the helicopter's pilot, and both Dent and Batman flee as the helicopter crashes into the Statue of Liberty.
Which is absolutely
right off
wild.
The bat, I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I was like, this is insane, but I was like happy it started with some sort of action.
But it's not the Statue of Liberty. It's the Statue of Gotham.
It is. Wow, Batman Wiki. Wow.
Let's figure that out.
And he's got you there. Yeah. Also, I really loved when they showed Two-Face's origin story. That somehow a criminal on the stand had acid.
His whole vibe was. I mean, like, so it's really funny when you see that first shot of him.
Mm-hmm.
How they think you don't know that he's Two-Face. I'm like, I can see the second face, like coming off the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so that was an interesting reveal. But his the look of this movie is really. Like Halloween costumey.
Yes.
Like it's sort of like.
Very cheap.
Yeah.
Like they were like, we have a budget and we got to adhere to it.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. So while this is going on, Edward Enigma, that's how you spell Enigma?
No, it's Edward Nigma because he's Enigma.
Oh. Yeah.
They don't do that in the movie. They never say.
But I had the subtitles on, which is how I got that. So I don't know that I would have ever put that together.
Nope.
Yeah.
Edward
they never say he's an Enigma, but he is a question mark. So I guess that's.
Wow. So I this know. Movie. Wanted me to look at cheap costumes and think.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, you're asking a lot. So that's played by Jim Carrey, a lowly worker at Wayne Enterprises who's literally insane, has invented an item that manipulates people's brainwaves and channels television programs into people's minds. Like, why? Making it feel like they're inside the show. Reviewing his work, Bruce Wayne rejects the invention on the grounds that such intrusive technology raises too many questions. Enigma's supervisor fires him. This drives Enigma crazy. He tests the machine on his supervisor, kills him. The way he dies is pretty funny. And makes it look like a suicide.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
It was so wild.
Yeah.
Then he leaves a riddle at the scene for Bruce and resigns from his job.
Can we talk about, I feel like his like normal...
Yes.
Was so crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That by the time he's the Riddler, he's
I was like,
the same.
Of course.
Yeah. Yes.
He
the only
went
thing
big.
That changes was the hair.
Yeah. I know his hair changed like 8 times. I was like, why? I really
That's
didn't understand.
That's true. I know his hair was confusing.
Yeah.
But he went so crazy big from the beginning that it felt like the soundtrack had to like kind of justify it in a way.
Yeah.
The soundtrack had to meet him after the in post-production. But then also Ed Begley Jr., who never goes big, suddenly is, because I guess he's reading the room, he's like,
totally.
I guess I'm this character.
Exactly.
I've never seen him do anything like
so
that.
It's so crazy.
It is absolutely wild.
Their interactions, like when they're alone, are wild because it's just them going like, la, la, la. Like Jim Carrey's like the craziest version of himself. And I am a fan. I felt like, I just was like, this is too silly.
Yes.
It's too silly.
I wish he had played... Edward a little smaller, so when he gets to be the Riddler, like it was like, oh, there's a change.
Well, because I feel like that's what happens to every character when they have an origin story. It's different from like what the character they become is.
Yes.
So then I was like, he needs to, like, he was being so crazy. I was like, there's no way this person works here. There's no way everyone
listens
to him.
No one would hire him for anything.
No. Also, Bruce Wayne just like accepting this man being like, and being like, maybe contact my secretary.
I know.
He'd be like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Are you on your lithium? You gotta get out of here.
Val seemed to be struggling with how to remain stoic and Batman-like in the face of this nonsense.
I want to know what everyone's thoughts were. Wasn't there a Tommy Lee Jones quote?
He said something about his buffoonery.
Yeah, he was like not here for it. For whatever.
Apparently,
it's in our
Tommy
trivia
Jones.
Section.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh, yeah. He hated him.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. I mean, they did have scenes together where you...
They had a lot.
You truly see Tommy Lee Jones struggling
through
There's
a scene where they hug. That
you know something
so
I heard?
Weird.
This is... I went Googling to try and confirm this, and I couldn't. But I remember hearing this a long time ago, that Tommy Lee Jones hated Jim Carrey so much that one thing he wanted to do was deprive him of single shots. And so Tommy Lee Jones, like, wow, re-blocked the scene so they were always in the lens together.
That's really funny.
That's really funny.
Now, the other thing about that, though, is that it makes your day shorter because you don't have to turn around. Oh, you know what, yeah, I mean? So it could have been that.
He had multiple reasons.
Yes, he had multiple reasons.
He was I don't want him to get a shine, and I want to go home.
Yeah, but they are truly so in the lens together a lot.
Wow. The whole movie, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think his Edward Nygma character reminded me of his Andy Kaufman a little bit, where he's sort of like, he's kind of like doing like a little face. Oh. Like he's kind of like, what's going on? I don't know. There was something about it where I was like, oh, maybe this is like the, some element of this was brought to that character. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No?
No. I'm just, I got a thing about Jim Carrey. So that's why I didn't see this movie and okay. I haven't seen
oh,
the Man
you're not
on the
a
moon.
Fan?
No.
Oh, have you seen Liar Liar?
No.
There's a really funny plane out. Scene.
There is.
He also beats uh-huh. himself up, and that's
ooh,
funny,
the
too.
The bathroom scene is very funny. also, there's a couple courtroom scenes that are very funny.
Yeah, have you
there's
seen...
There's also an elevator scene that's very funny.
Have you seen Truman Show?
Yeah.
That one's good.
Have I you guess. Seen Sonic 1 and Sonic 2?
No.
Best work of his career.
Really? You guys have seen literally not one Val Kilmer movie and literally every single Jim Carrey movie.
Have you seen Eternal Sunshine?
Yeah,
that's that I have not.
Oh, you interesting. Should, that's just a
you only
great
see the
movie.
Bad okay. ones.
Listen, Sonic was. I truly think it's the best work of his career.
I haven't seen Sonic this, yet.
Is it a live action movie?
I'll wait for my yes. daughter to watch it.
Yeah, you don't remember? They came out with the Sonic like picture, and everyone was like, ugh.
"Oh yeah."
And then they changed.
Yeah,
it?
When he had teeth,
oh,
yeah. and everyone yeah, like said nasty. No. I was like, "So wait, we all just said no, and they were like, back to the drawing board." Like,
well,
I didn't
I
know
think,
we had that
I
much control.
I think the response was so like, ah,
yeah,
like. Not like, oh, we hate this, it's bad. It was like, this is scary.
Yeah, it did look wrong.
Yeah, just upsetting.
But it got through a lot of channels before everyone weighed in. I don't know. So meanwhile, Bruce meets psychiatrist Dr. Chase Meridian, which is an amazing name, Nicole yes. Kidman, who seems to be taken with him right away and invites her to a charity circus event. There, Two-Face and his henchmen storm the event in an attempt to discover Batman's secret identity. In the process, Two-Face kills a family of acrobats called the Flying Graysons. The youngest Grayson named Dick.
Just the way it happens is so funny.
It's so
one is
crazy.
Rolling a bomb into a river, and the other is like, we can get him! And then yeah. they fall down.
And the only reason fall. It happened, too, is because Dick Grayson did a major stunt where it was like, with no net!
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why his whole family was able
right.
to fall
it
to
is
their
his
deaths.
Fault.
So it actually is his fault.
Yeah.
He had just fault. Not been a show-off and yeah. let the net be.
Why ever do anything without a net if
why?
You're an acrobat?
Why? Why? We don't want
don't
that.
Know.
No. So that's Chris O'Donnell. He survives and throws Two-Face's bomb into the river. Assuming responsibility for Dick, Bruce allows him to stay at Wayne Manor. Before long, Dick accidentally stumbles across the Batcave and discovers Bruce's secret identity.
Which is wild.
Everyone
you don't lock
it
up better.
So fast.
They really do.
Everyone's like, you're Batman. Like, so many people
he, by
know.
The way, he tries to admit it at the circus. Remember,
yeah.
that was a big moment
yeah.
for Batman.
Well, he waited till everyone started screaming to go, yes. I'm Batman.
I'm yeah. Batman.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
And he only said it once.
I know. They did a bunch. That felt like a little jokey. I don't know. Dick pleads to let Bruce train him as a partner so he can get revenge on Two-Face, but Bruce refuses, feeling he cannot drag Dick into his crime-stopping world.
Is this around when we get to see how incredible Robin is at doing his laundry?
I believe so. That was an incredible scene.
That was incredible. I've never seen anybody do laundry like
me
that.
Me either.
Man.
He was like, people don't take care of me.
He doesn't need to be taken care of.
No.
Yeah.
I guess that's how acrobats do their laundry.
Yeah,
I guess so.
It's something.
He's trained.
Flip around.
Yeah.
And I always want to call him Winston, Alfred. I don't know why I keep doing that. Well, did we skip that part? Well, they have that little moment where he's like, I'll keep your outfit right over here. Like that little, I don't know if that's here or if we're getting ahead of ourselves, but.
Oh, Robin also calls him Al right up. That's how you know he's like troubled. He's like a bad boy. He's like a rebel.
He's leather.
And he's really handsome in a very, like, of that moment
ethereal way.
It's the sideburns that tell you what year this was made.
Sideburns. That's
those 90210 sideburns.
Totally.
Meanwhile, Nygma, inspired and delighted by watching Two-Face's raid at the circus, decides to become a villain himself, the Riddler.
Just decides?
He's like, this is for me. Mm-hmm. He heads to Two-Face's, but also I was like, the scene with his supervisor or whatever, didn't that do something to his brain?
I felt like he was messed up, and then he goes into his little, but he already had that little lair that had the Joker,
the Riddler
like thingy.
Fortune teller thing.
Yeah, and like, he goes in there and he has all those like It looks like a psycho killer's like hidden closet space. I don't know. So I felt, I don't know. I just thought he was a crazy person. Like, it just seemed like.
Yeah. Did you see that when he's trying outfits on the Statue of David that it has no genitals?
Wow.
Oh. Very interesting moment.
I didn't clock that.
I didn't clock that either, but it feels like something we would have clocked.
Yeah. Two very horny ladies.
Yeah, we like to know. We like to know.
What's going on in the
front? I was curious. I was like, it just seems like something that happened when they're deciding what to rate the movie.
Right, right. They're like, well, if we show this famous statue that
millions have seen people trek to.
If a kid sees
I guess it's PG-13. Mm-hmm. So we head to Two-Face's lair where we also meet two of Two-Face's henchwomen, Sugar, Drew Barrymore,
which was
a nice surprise, and Spice, Debbie Mazar,
who I love too.
Nice surprise. Mm-hmm. Their Enigma shows Two-Face's invention, which becomes hugely popular. That confused me. It also has the side effect of allowing Enigma to access its users' brainwaves and discover all of their secrets, which is also like, why do you want that? Which enhances his own intelligence and knowledge in the process. The two villains make a deal. If Two-Face helps him steal enough priceless goods and money to fund his project, the Riddler will use his invention, The Box, also terrible name, to learn Batman's true identity. The two begin their rampage, robbing museums, collecting diamonds, and money.
Can we talk about the part where it's back, but when Enigma first takes Ed Begley Jr.'s brain or whatever, and they let Jim Carrey do like every style of that he wanted to. Like he was like, I'm taking the cortex and the cerebrum, name it. And then he was like, blah, 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 blah. He did like every single thing that you could do and they used them all.
I'll give you a bunch of choices. We'll take them all.
No.
He's supposed to get, he's supposed to absorb the intelligence and knowledge of everybody, which would make him like a super genius, but that never seems to occur.
No,
he never gets smarter.
He never gets smarter.
He just gets more annoying.
He gets goofier and goofier.
And his hair gets weirder.
But the outfits get so good.
Well, yeah, it looks like he could wear it to the Beyonce concert.
Yes. It's like full truly on, like, that last one was for Beyonce. Mark.
Yeah. At a business party for his new company, Enigma Tech, Enigma unveils his new...
Also, how do you have time to create a new company? Or are you just saying you have a new company?
How much time is passing?
Yes.
He unveils his new brain scanning technology. Bruce doesn't want to use it, knowing it can extract people's thoughts, but Sugar tricks him into stepping into the box that he thinks has been switched
off.
Which
is so dumb. Why would you get in it even if it was switched off?
Yeah, no.
Bruce,
I didn't catch that he was tricked into doing it. I just saw him sit down in front of this thing and getting a beam shot up in the forehead, and I was like, why are you doing that?
She took the little tube out, and she's like, it's off. And then he went in, and she shoved it back in, and was like... I did it. It was wild. I was like, what?
Drew Barrymore has had so much fun, I feel like, in her career. So many random things. Soon, Two-Face and Spice arrive and begin robbing the guests, hoping to lure Batman to the scene. Bruce leaves, changes, and comes back to the party, crashing in through the ceiling. When Batman falls into a trap laid for him by the villains, Dick comes to his rescue. Still, back at the Batcave, Bruce again refuses to let Dick become his partner. Back as Batman, he heads to Chase's apartment where she reveals that though she loves Batman, she has fallen in love with someone else. He smiles.
This smile was so funny.
He smiles and turns away knowing Chase has fallen in love with him.
Boy, oh boy, did I laugh. They like kiss and she's like, no, I like someone else. And then he was like,
he's like, that's me too.
It's me. It's me.
You've
always been
me twice.
I'm tricking you.
First she tells Bruce, like, I'm not interested in you because I've fallen in love with someone else
Batman.
Who we know is Batman.
Yes.
And then he's all bummed because he's like, she'll never like me, Bruce Wayne. She only likes Batman.
Yeah.
And then Batman goes to kiss her and she says, I'm sorry, I've fallen for someone else. It's Bruce.
I know.
It's crazy.
She needs to get her stuff together.
She really
I'm
does.
I'm worried about her. She's a mental health professional.
I know.
Yeah. She's not okay.
She's
flopping. Mm-hmm. Also, does every Batman have a blonde woman that he is in love with? Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm saying it feels that way.
Yeah, it's what it feels like.
So far, we had a redhead.
Oh, we did.
In the cartoon.
Okay, so maybe they just like didn't color correct it and she was supposed to be blonde. Bruce tells Dick that he will retire as Batman, which is wild. Now that he has found happiness with Chase. Like, you're going to stop fighting crime because of a woman?
And why are you stopping? Don't you have a mission in life to like
do
something?
Avenge your dead parents? Which angers Dick and prompts him to run away. Bruce invites Chase to Wayne Manor, where through a kiss, she realizes his secret identity is Batman.
Yeah, she's like, it's the same lips.
Same lips, same chin, Same eyes, same person. Just then, the Riddler and Two-Face break into the home. And I was like, you live in a mansion. You don't have cameras. Like, you don't
Alfred
have good security.
Alfred just got clocked on the head with the question mark cane. And this is where they hugged right before they go in. They're like, happy Halloween or something. I don't remember. What they're and then
oh,
they're
it's
like,
Halloween.
They hug each other.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I was
it's
like,
Halloween because there was trick-or-treaters. Mm-hmm.
Thinking about Tommy Lee Jones hating this and hugging him.
Maybe that was the day he decided to not give him singles.
Yeah. He's like, I'll have fun here. Yeah, so they pretend to be trick-or-treaters
Which
and Alfred falls.
Wild.
Yeah.
They destroy the Batcave, kidnap Chase, and leave behind a fourth riddle while Bruce and Alfred are unconscious. When he wakes, Bruce solves the riddle so fast and uses all four riddles to discover the Riddler's true identity as Nygma. He locates Nygma's lair on an island outside of Gotham. When did he have time to build this? As Batman, he debates on his mode of transportation. The Batwing or the Batboat? A voice calls for both. And Dick steps out of the shadows as Robin, revealing that Alfred helped him with his transfer. Like, is Alfred a super seamstress?
He's a mechanic. We know that.
Yeah,
I was surprised to hear that.
When
he can
fix
a motorcycle.
All those motorcycles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A mechanic, a seamstress. It's wild. This time, Batman accepts Robin as his partner, and the two rush off to rescue Chase.
Okay, did you try to solve the riddles before they solve them?
Yeah, a little.
Like a little. I was going like...
It was like 13.
It has a face like at this and a face like at that, and then they're
well,
like clock.
And I was
like,
oh.
I was insulted by that riddle. That's a little too easy.
Because that one, that
was
kind of like...
it was easy?
I did. Just that one.
We've heard the face,
yeah, face.
Thing before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the other ones, I hadn't. I was stumped.
Yeah,
I was impressed that they got it.
Mm-hmm. And realized that all four, the answers to all four riddles, when you put them together, mean something.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that.
Never for a minute.
No. I would have thrown them all out and been like, ugh, someone creepy.
But then
keeps
the old
writing.
Like,
someone creepy took my girlfriend and keeps writing me shit. Oh, better
I'm
clean
scared.
Up the Wayne Manor.
But A is one, B is two. That thing.
What was the solution to that?
That's what it was. It was like each one of these letters corresponds to the number that they are in the alphabet.
But
if you put these two together.
Right. Yeah. Upon reaching the island, Batman and Robin are both shot down and they crash. They split up when the island begins to slide into pieces. Robin locates Two-Face and kicks him over the edge of a cliff, but hesitates in killing him and instead helps him back up.
Stupid.
Two-Face turns on him, capturing Robin. I know, that was so dumb.
I was like, kill him.
You're so new at this, man.
Let him go. He had a gun
in his face. I was like, it's over. Mm-hmm. The way he put the gun in Robin's face, and then we get this time where we see Batman successfully infiltrate the tower. He sees Robin and Chase are being tied up in a giant glass contraption. There was such an easy moment for Robin to be killed.
Yes.
Like, it would have happened right then if Two-Face actually cared. And that's the part I didn't get. I was like, he has a gun to his head. There's no protection on it.
Just kill him.
Yeah.
Well, maybe one part of him wanted to and the other didn't. You know what I mean? He's got to flip a coin.
Okay, you
he
do know the inner workings of Two-Face.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Have you seen No Country for Old Men, by the way?
No.
I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a coin flip to whether you're going to kill somebody or not. And Tommy Lee Jones is in it. Slightly interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah,
he was like, I remember this
mm-hmm.
from when I did that thing. Yeah.
The Riddler tells Batman that he can only save one hostage, but Batman stalls the Riddler with a riddle of his own, using the distraction to destroy the brainwave collecting device. It was so easy to break it. Reversing its effect on the Riddler. It didn't reverse him. It sizzled him up.
It made him really weird looking.
Yeah,
Why did he look like that?
He looked melted
and strange.
But
his face was like bigger.
Yeah.
And like it looked like old.
He looked like Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, it looked. Yeah, he had like a big
like
head.
Just huge and misshapen.
It was so weird. I really was like looking at it going like, is this an effect? Or what am I looking at?
Or does Jim Carrey actually, can he look like that?
Does he look sick?
Is he okay? Was
Rubber
he sick
faced
that
comedian
day?
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he can puff his forehead
can
out?
Can actually
That's
puff out his forehead.
Crazy.
Yes.
And sending him into a mental breakdown in the process. Batman rescues Robin and Chase before they fall to their deaths, only to find Two-Face holding them at gunpoint. Batman tricks Two-Face into using his coin. This is wild. But tosses a handful of silver dollars as he flips it midair, which confuses
the
villain.
I know, he's like, so many coins.
He's like, ah, yeah.
And then he fell trying to get
which
them.
Chase told him earlier. She's like, that coin is important to him. You can
defeat
him.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, he falls to his death and the Riddler is sent to Arkham Asylum and Chase is asked to consult on his case.
So this is like...
This is so funny.
Hannibal Lecter situation.
The Riddler offers to reveal the identity of Batman to her, trying to convince her that he himself is Batman. Chase tells Bruce his safe. Like, what she was like? She was like, he's a certified weirdo or something.
I know. I was like, he's a wacko. Man. He's a wacko. They repeated that line like it was so amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a wacko. Is that the clinical term? Yeah, it was such a cute flirt.
So funny. They kiss before Chase departs. The film, this is the only part of the movie I genuinely liked. The film ends with Batman and Robin running towards the camera with the bat signal in the background.
It looked really cool.
It looked so cool.
Mm. It did look cool, and it got me a little excited about the next one.
Yes.
But... yeah, no, the ending. So, like, Jim Carrey's in the insane asylum, and he's like, they're like, he keeps saying he knows who Batman is. And so then we're like, oh no, he's going to say it's Bruce. But, like, who cares if he's saying
that?
Yeah,
he did know.
He's crazy.
Right?
He goes, I know who Batman is. And he's like, I'm Batman.
I am Batman. Mm.
And he's like waving his like straight jacket around, where I was like, well, you're not really locked up in that. It was like black and white stripe.
Yeah. Like, he looked like he was in jail and not a mental institution. True.
Yeah. It was really kooky. And she's like, he doesn't know. He thinks it's him. That's some wacko.
Does she know at that point who Batman is?
Because she kissed both of them.
And she was like, I know those
lips. So she's scared he's going to say. Yeah.
I see.
It's all safe.
Also, I was like, this mental institution has no parking.
Yeah,
she gotta be by the gate.
She came through a door, and then he was waiting out there. Yeah. It was very, very like Transylvania sort of.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the movie. I mean, it's truly. One part I wanted to mention was when Jim Carrey, his whole like when the Riddler's like whole thing blows up, when he throws the like bat thing at, and it explodes, and he's like, bummer. And then I was like, bummer. Like,
bummer?
It was like, bummer.
Bummer.
The stakes were low.
I will say, the stakes were higher in this Batman than any other Batman.
Oh.
So I kind of appreciated that.
Yeah.
I like that it started with a little bit of action. I did not like that the director wasn't like, hey guys, let's all make one movie.
Hmm.
But I did long for the, what's his name, Mr. Burton?
Tim.
Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. The Tim Burton movies.
I liked when Mr. Burton made the films. Yeah, no, it's true. Because I really liked how, this one looked, like the city looked kind of cool. Like it was a little brighter and like less, it wasn't all black like Tim Burton style. But yeah, I just felt like it was all over the place and just too silly, actually. Like I like silliness, but I just felt like it took away from the story. Like it just was kind of distracting.
Yeah,
I don't know. It didn't feel like everyone agreed to the same tone.
Yeah,
and that's
there was
hard.
No tone meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know if Batman did he kill the people who killed his parents? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he did. I don't know.
Like in, one thing.
The Joker killed his parents.
Yeah, right. Oh. That was in the cartoon.
Yeah.
Mm.
But so that was just one version where they said the story was like he pieces together the guy who shot his parents was actually the Joker. But I don't think that's true most of the time.
I think it's just like a criminal. A
couple of thugs.
It was Tim Burton decided that Jack Nicholson's Joker is like there's that flashback where he
realizes he does kill him.
But I think it does change that little part of the story changes. It seems
because then that's two though where it's the Joker who did it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Because in this movie, there's a major theme of revenge.
Yeah,
and that Batman's whole thing is about getting revenge on the thugs that killed his parents.
Yeah,
and now Dick Grayson is in the same position, and Two-Face is trying to get revenge against Batman for perfectly putting a perfect line down the middle of his face.
On that note, I love that Batman was in full costume in a courtroom. Like in the daylight. That was very funny.
Yeah. And everyone's always just
Batman.
Like happy to see him. Mm-hmm. Like there he is. We're not trying to guess who he is. It's rude to try to guess. Like, yeah, he's just here.
He's just here at court like everybody else.
That's his prerogative.
God, it was so funny. And I was like, how did Batman think he was going to stop acid from being thrown? It's in the air.
Yeah.
It's about to land.
Yeah, that's one you don't have a tool for.
No. Mm. And I did love that he put newspaper on his face and meat.
The manila folder made a perfect line down the middle of his face.
Yeah. It's really wild.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this movie grossed $52.8 million in its opening weekend, beating Jurassic Park for the highest opening weekend total of all time. It was surpassed 2 years later by the Jurassic Park sequel.
That's pretty crazy, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it currently holds a 39% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I get it. Batman Forever was nominated for 3 Oscars.
Mm.
Wait, for cinematography? Sound? Okay, good sound. And sound effects editing. One song from the movie, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2. I don't know that song. Was nominated for a Golden Globe.
I don't know that song.
That comes on right when at the end of the movie, right when the credits.
How's it go?
I don't really feel like singing it, but
okay, I won't make you. I won't make you
perform it.
But it's a good song. It actually is a really good song.
They also had a Flaming Lips song that I used to like as a kid. It was very 90s feeling. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we were talking about how Kiss from a Rose wasn't in the movie. Like
I was looking for it.
That played from in the credits after the entirety of Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me.
Wow. Then
wow.
Yes. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I stayed till the end of the credits.
I really appreciate that. I did not. The second it ended, I was like, bye. Yeah. Sleep time.
We don't have after credit scenes, right?
That's no, just a Marvel thing. Exactly.
Sometimes I lose the remote.
Oh, I see. You know. I see. I know that life.
Also, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me was nominated for Worst Original Song by the Razzies. I'm like, the what? Worst song?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
I didn't think it was that terrible.
It's and it song. Won an MTV Movie Award for Seal's Kiss from a Rose.
It's a great song. I can't and believe it wasn't in the movie.
That's a great song. I didn't realize they were giving awards for the songs. With the
I
movies.
Think MTV just does whatever they want. They're like, we like this song. Let's pick a couple other ones.
Yeah.
And then it's like
Hottest Kiss. And it's whatever.
I feel like the Nicole Kidman and Val Kilmer were up for Hottest Kiss. Sounds familiar to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did like their chemistry.
Yeah. Me too.
She was so horny for anybody.
She was so
And I was like, to be that
horny.
Pretty and be like, any person, a bat, a man, whatever.
I know. She was really not, she was not discriminating about who she wanted to be.
No.
Trivia. Here's our trivia.
No, Wayne, dude.
So Jim Carrey has said that Tommy Lee Jones couldn't stand him. And said, oh, Jim Carrey has said it. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Supposedly telling him, I cannot sanction your buffoonery.
That is the funniest sentence any human's uttered really about funny. Something funny.
It's funny to go up to someone and say that.
I cannot sanction your buffoonery. Imagine it in Tommy Lee Jones's voice.
And I feel like that would just light a fire under Jim Carrey.
Yeah, to be like, gotta do more.
Yeah. Mm. Joel Schumacher apparently also didn't get along with Val Kilmer, calling him childish and impossible.
Whoa!
According to Schumacher, Kilmer refused to talk to him for 2 weeks.
During shooting?
God, that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Does everyone just do it?
Yeah, just make the movie.
I heard he also said that Val Kilmer put out his cigarette on a cameraman's face.
What?
Okay, well, I guess
I'd
have a hard time working with that person, too. That's
Wait, that's absolutely unhinged.
I know. That's what Joel Schumacher somewhere else called him psychotic. He said Val Kilmer was
putting
psychotic.
A cigarette in someone's face, I would not describe as not psychotic. Yeah.
I would never dream of that. I don't even know how you get to that point.
No. I wouldn't dream of being rude, really.
No, I usually am like, thank you so much for having
I'm
me
so
here.
I'm so excited I got to do whatever this is.
Thank you so much.
I would put out
You're
going to
throw pudding on me? Thank you.
I'd put the cigarette out in somebody's face, but I would not be rude.
Yeah. I just can't find anywhere to put this.
I can't put it right on you. According to costume designer Jose Fernandez, Schumacher insisted on the nipples on Batman and Robin's costumes, wanting them to be more anatomical.
Wow.
Fernandez says, Schumacher loved the nipples, so he said, let's showcase them. He wanted them sharpened, like with points. This is so
funny. Obsessive.
They were also circled, both outer and inner. It was all made to feature into a feature of the Batsuit. I didn't want to do it, but he was the boss. So we sharpened them, circled them, and it all became kind of ridiculous.
That's
funny. Incredible. This movie sounds like a nightmare.
I think it's funny how people speak openly about negative things that happened with people they worked with. Like, I'm like, you just said it was crazy and you didn't want to do it and you did. Like,
I think it happens later, like 10 years after.
Yeah,
people are like, what was it like working on that movie? It was insane.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. The Batmobile was usually driven by stunt drivers, but Chris O'Donnell insisted on driving it himself in the joyride scene. He crashed into a curb and dented a fender.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
He did it when he was driving it. He did a funny little Latino accent.
Yeah, actually,
I didn't catch that.
Subtitles, it said Chicano accent.
Oh, it did.
And then he said the thing. Yeah,
I really missed that. What
when
did he
he's
say?
Like rolling up on the fluorescent party.
Wow. Yeah. Will Shortz, puzzle master on NPR and editor of the New York Times crossword puzzle, created the Riddler's riddles.
Okay. Cool. That's actually interesting to me because I feel like when you're writing something like that, how would you come up with a riddle that all pieces together in the end? Like, that sounds hard if you're not someone who creates puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, good for him. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with a little more Batman after this.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
We're back! Holy Batman, Batman! In this new segment, we'll rate Val Kilmer on a definitive newcomer's Batman scale. We'll use our phones to rank this Batman across five unique characteristics. Preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability. Does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness. How gravelly is Batman's voice? Sadness. How lonely, brooding, emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness. Ooh, how hot is this Batman? And then, Andy, get your phone out. We got a QR code.
Oh, shit.
It's interactive, it's, baby.
It's pretty high tech.
Oh, my God. I was wondering what this was. I thought it was a coaster.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so do your rankings, and then we'll check in with what we all put.
Mm.
Oh, this is my favorite image on it.
Oh. Now I can use this as a coaster?
Mm-hmm. Are we all in?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so we ranked this Batman a 61% on the preparedness scale. I feel like he wasn't exceedingly prepared.
No, I felt like he was only prepared at the end.
Yeah.
When it seemed like he shouldn't have had a plan because everything was like, you know, like sporadic.
Yeah.
But he like magically knew how to do everything and was like had coins and shit.
Yeah.
But leading up to that, not prepared at all.
And he went into battle in an experimental suit with sonar or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like,
no, man.
Yeah,
but
no.
Did the sonar save the day somehow, didn't it? I think it might have.
I don't know.
There was some moment
end.
Where he couldn't see.
Don't ask me a question.
Oh, yeah. It was right? Like his night vision happened, but then it didn't. It wasn't black. It wasn't like pitch black.
No, I know. It was a little confusing. Yes.
Look. Okay. Detective ability, 77.5%. He got those riddles. He kind of did them with his girlfriend a little bit. And yeah. Yeah, I feel like that was pretty good. Voice graveliness, 75%. It was a little gravelly.
A little, but not super.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen gravelier.
Yeah,
we have. Sadness, 92.5%.
Very sad.
He was really sad.
I think he was that sad.
Oh, see, I think above all he was sad. I feel like he was just kind of like, he was really one note. Like he was kind of like just he kind was of melancholy. Getting through it, you know?
Yes. He was lonely and brooding.
That's because he was like, I don't want to film this. I want to put my cigarettes out in people's faces.
I know. Knowing that was going on behind the scenes is interesting.
Bruce Wayne should move to a happier house.
Yeah.
It's very dour.
It is.
It is.
It's a weird castle.
Mm-hmm. Like, get a comfy couch and some sunlight.
Yes.
Open the curtains.
Hotness and horniness, 74%. I mean, someone gave him pretty low. Was that me? Maybe.
Or was it Andy?
I did not particularly think he was all that horny.
I didn't think he was horny. I feel like he... I was at first thinking really hot and horny, and then I was like, well, nothing really happened sexually.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of like kissed, like, but it wasn't kisses. Like...
It wasn't like Michael Keaton on that couch with anything lady was about on to top. Go down.
Yeah.
Who was that lady?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Jesus Christ.
I know. We've watched a lot.
He's seeking companionship more than sex.
Yeah. It really... He was. He wanted to go on a date with her. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't feel like... He was oozing sex appeal, actually. He was an attractive man. He can't help it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, wasn't going above and beyond. So that's where we're at in this one.
That's it.
Love it.
And this is the only one with Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah, why is that? I don't know why. It is
the only
one.
He's awful.
Oh, right. Nobody wanted to work with him
again. They didn't want to work with him again. We were surprised, though, to hear that it jumps around to new people every time. That's just interesting. I'm curious. So who's next?
I think it is Mr. Clooney. Is that right?
George Clooney? I like him. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
I do like George Clooney. I don't know if I see him as Batman.
Mm. I can see it.
Clear as day. I can
actually
see it.
I can see the whole thing. I already have seen it.
I wrote the movie.
It's done.
I can see it.
Yeah, it's perfect. Time for our segment called Five Capos. This is our listener review segment where we talk about who loves our podcast. We got 5 stars from Hillbilly Bajingle Wash.
That's a funny name.
Yes. The title was Giving Me Life. Thank you, Nicole and Lauren. Your suffering for art is appreciated and will be rewarded in the afterlife, I'm sure. Great show. Very funny. Please never stop making newcomers. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. And then, once again, in addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we'll also be reading reviews from Letterboxd and then giving each film a 1-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. If you don't know, Letterboxd is a social media platform where any old person can write a review of a movie, and you can follow the show on Letterboxd at newcomers.
Are you on Letterboxd?
I'm not on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
My daughter is. I've heard a lot about it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. This first review, so think about what your sentence might be, but this first review is from Lubchansky. There's a part where Batman shows up and a guy in the crowd starts pointing and screaming, Batman, it's Batman, and I simply must agree. See? That's all you gotta say. We got 3.5 stars from Coffee. Joel Schumacher and Tim Burton were the only motherfuckers that understood the best way to make a Batman movie is to make everybody want to have sex with each other. We need more fetish superhero movies, and nerds should be held responsible for the fact we haven't gotten any since Batman and Robin that makes any goddamn sense.
Wow.
Look, this person sounds like you, but about all the other ones.
Mm. Yeah.
They're like, the other ones are how to make this movie.
How
and,
strange.
Yeah. I don't all know. Right. It's very strange. So what's your 1-sentence review, and how many stars do you give this film?
How many stars?
5.
Oh, interesting.
Nicole, you can
what
go
an
first
interesting
if you
number
want.
Of stars.
I can't remember what I gave Batman Returns. I think I said 4.
You gave it 4.
I'm going to give this one 4 too. Maybe 3.5, because I like them... I don't know. Here's the thing. You came into this being like, I have to remember that I probably won't like these and rate it in a way.
I'm trying to make it make sense. My ratings make sense with my other ratings on the movies. Like, if I give this a 4, then that means that if I really like something, I only have room to go up to a 5.
Yes.
Like,
so is it relative to all other movies or relative only to all other Batman movies?
That's why I get confused with my own ratings. And then I kind of just throw away the system as I'm saying, because it doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Looking back, I liked Batman Returns more than this. So I think, even though I spoke pretty poorly of it, I think I'm going to give this 5. No, not 5. Sorry.
Whoa.
3.5 stars.
That's still really high.
3.5.
Stick with what you believe in. I'm just saying it's high.
I think my review is, good Lord, not one person was in the same movie, but it was interesting. And I like the Riddler costumes.
Okay. I'm going to give it 2.5 stars.
Okay.
I love silly movies, but this movie was too silly. Silly in all the wrong ways.
I think relative to other Batman movies, it's a 4. Relative to all other movies, it's a 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would say Tommy Lee Jones is pretty good. That might be my one sentence.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of the actors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just wasn't for
there
me.
Was just like, I think if they had gotten Jim Carrey in some like takes where he wasn't at an 11,
if he that played it helped. like a regular guy,
yes,
for the first part,
like an unassuming guy where you're just like, he just seems crushed that he doesn't want to invest or like go with his research or whatever. Yeah.
That would have been more interesting. And I also like, he's so good at doing the over the top thing that by the time he gets to become the Riddler, then he can just have a field day. Yeah.
Would it have made a difference if the Riddler had been played by Robin Williams, who I know they were trying to get?
Oh, I would have liked that.
Oh, I think I would have loved that. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Everyone out there, please review our podcast on Apple Podcasts. We'll be picking one to read on the next episode. Also, please rate us on Spotify. It's very easy. You just pick the stars, and we want 5.
You just pick the stars, and we want 5.
Andy, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Is there anything you would like to plug?
Patreon.com/AndyDaily is where you hear my podcasting efforts.
And they're so funny.
Thank you. And I guess people should watch Harley Quinn, I suppose.
Yeah, they can see you as
Two-Face. It's really good. Yeah. I feel bad that I said that the 1966 Batman is the only time somebody got the tone right, because there's also the show that I'm on.
Yeah, but technically not Batman.
That's,
yeah,
that's
Quinn.
A different universe.
Yeah.
Well, not universe, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, we'll be back next week with Batman and Robin.
Okay, here's the thing. I know they didn't run off set into the next movie, but that's what I feel like they're doing, and I'm excited.
It kind of looked like that, and I got a little excited, too. I felt like it was kind of like setting up the next one.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm curious. That one has a lot of people we like. Alicia Silverstone.
Mr. Freeze, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
And I don't know who else.
And George Clooney. I don't know. Yeah. I guess we'll find out the rest.
And Chris O'Donnell.
And Chris O'Donnell.
And Chris O'Donnell is back.
Oh, yeah. So he's just with a different Batman now. That's weird.
Mm. That is weird.
They didn't run into the next movie because they switched out the guy.
Yeah, he like pushed him over and was like, come on, George.
That's really strange.
Yeah, that must have been an interesting experience for him.
And there must have been a moment where they said, well, maybe we should take this opportunity to replace Robin as well.
Yeah,
I think they should have.
But I wonder if he signed on to do 2 movies because it felt kind of
Val Kilmer probably would have had to sign on to do 2 movies. Do we know why Val Kilmer was replaced? Will it be in our trivia?
I'll try to find out before the next one.
Okay.
All right. But I do wonder, I mean, that cigarette thing.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Right? It's got to be.
That's like enough of a reason.
Yeah. And he didn't get along with Schumacher, we learned. They didn't talk.
And it's the same guy who did the next one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, can't wait to watch that, I think. And we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Konevskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Monchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd @Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Na 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 bye!
That was a HeadGum original.